Cool. Okay. Do you want to start?
Yes, I'm also gonna
Whenever
mute myself
you're
while.
ready.
But no, I'm good to go whenever. I'm just gonna mute myself while I eat this other half of a bagel.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm gonna kick the thingy. So you have to at
It's.
least say hi to me.
I will unmute myself for that.
Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi, Liz. What's up?
Nothing. I'm just eating a bagel with some peanut butter, trying to deal with some rowdy dogs.
Hello, rowdy dogs.
Yeah, Loki's on a tangent today. He took Tallahassee's ball.
Oh, there we go.
Tallahassee's standing there swimming, looking at him, but he has her ball right next to her head, and he's just taunting her.
Oh, what a puppy morning.
Tallahassee's been a trooper. She's been my buddy. Nicole actually got her, because she doesn't like fireworks. She's like rogue in that aspect. She'll hide under things.
Uh-huh.
And she doesn't like storms.
Oh, so how'd Nicole she got, do like, last week?
She was okay, but what she does is she just like gets real low, and then just wherever I am, she is, or she really likes underneath the dining room table.
She gets low, gets low, gets low, gets low. Gets low. Low.
To the window, to the walls. To the anxiety makes her ball.
Oh.
But Nicole got this little dog box, and in the dog box it has, don't you eat my peanut butter? She's sneaky. Heavenly Hounds peanut butter flavored relaxation square.
Oh.
So we're gonna try it. On the 4th of July. There is actually, if I look at it, there's actually valerian root, passion flower. So, but no corn, no soy, no wheat. So
okay,
I think it's more like herbal, but she also did get these hemp quiet moments.
That dog looks so happy. On the
calming aid. That's little Sheba. But that one has the, so we're going to try it for storms. So we're going to try the square for the 4th of July, and we're going to try the
Loki. If you're going to keep it up, but I'm going to have to put you outside. You're not a really good co-host.
Oh no. Oh no. You, sir?
Loki's gonna be one of my co-hosts in TikTok and put him in all his Naruto stuff.
Ah, fun times.
Fun times. I'm also making ramen from scratch. Nicole wants ramen from scratch.
Wow, look at you.
I know. So I'm busting out my cook anime cookbook, and I was like, I have a recipe for that. And I was like, if we do that, we have to make dashi stock. And if we make dashi stock, we can also make miso soup.
Oh. I like miso soup.
And then I'll full on weeb it. And just make anime food while watching anime.
Like that girl I sent you on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll wonder why I'm single forever.
Oh, hush up. Hush up.
Although I did think I was old, and then I posted that video of like, your first anime crush. Your new anime crush. And my first anime crush is Duo Maxwell from Gundam Wing, which came out in like the early 90s. Because it was on Toonami when I was a teenager. Because it was like Gundam Wing into Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
And I will never fully admit that Goku was also an anime crush. But when I was obviously like 13, 14 watching Toonami, I had a crush on Duo Maxwell, and a lot of anime characters are younger. So Duo was like that kind of age. So it was cool because I thought it would be weird if I was like now at my age being like Duo Maxwell. But at the time it made sense. So I was just like, I don't know how this is going to go over because like all the other ones people are going to know if they watch anime now.
Yeah.
The most comments are people like Duo, Duo Maxwell, Duo, oh my God. And I was just like, yeah. Yes, fuck yes. Thank God.
My people.
Love me, my little dude in a priest suit who just rides around in his Death Sight Cell custom. Oh, man. Did you see? You did, because we posted it. And I don't think we talked about it.
What?
Jensen's Soldier Boy outfit.
Yeah, I saw it.
Hello. That made me want to jump into my Starlight cosplay like that.
OMG.
I saw it and was just like, okay, I guess we're doing the boys next.
That's all I have to say. OMG.
That coloring just looks, I don't know. I like that they went with that style.
I like the stars on it. I like the color. The color reminds me of like the Statue of Liberty.
It very much fits the Soldier Boy. And I like the scruffy scruff. I think it's nice that they went kind of more with like that rugged kind of retired soldier as opposed to Homelander, who's clean cut.
I like the scruffy scruff. The hair, the hair bothers me a little bit.
Why?
I don't know. It's like a weird flop he's got going on. And I don't know. But I like everything else.
See, now I'm going to have to pull. Okay, hold up.
I love me some Jensen.
Soldier Boy. But I do this and it pulls up literally like Soldier Boy by the Shirelles. And like, Soldier Boy up in it. Oh.
Yeah, every time I post a picture of him as Soldier Boy, that's the song I use. So,
Soldier
Superman
Boy,
that hoe.
Wow. I searched it and I didn't hit images and it just comes up. Cowardice. Soldier Boy is a cowardly and naive individual who mindlessly sucks up to other well-known superheroes. It seems that he commits crimes such as, and then it just trails off, but.
No, Kate, I'm looking at it again. Maybe I don't mind it as much.
It's more like a comb over.
Yeah.
It's just, instead of like pulling it back, he has it kind of pulled down and off to the side. He has the Zemo hair. He has the Zemo hair from Falcon Winter Soldier.
Maybe I'm just used to him with his little spiky hair.
Well, yeah, because even in My Bloody Valentine, he has the short spiky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? Yesterday I was watching CMT and Bravo had like the best late 90s movies on yesterday. First, Bring It On was on. Then I caught the end of Coyote Ugly, and then She's All That was on. And I was looking at Freddie Prinze Jr. and I was like, why does Freddie Prinze Jr. like look? He looks like somebody. And he kind of looks like Jensen.
He kind of, as soon as you started saying that, I pictured him and I was like, yeah, he kind of does look like Jensen, which is weird because Freddie Prinze played Fred in the suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was just like looking at him and like his jawline and like his eyes and everything. I was like, kind of look like Jensen Ackles. And I don't hate it right now. I'm for it. Then Hope Floats came on and that was like, I didn't go to bed till like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was crying because that movie is like just cry fest.
Ugh. I've never seen it.
No, don't. It's sad. So sad.
I was trying to think of it and then I was like, wait, hold on.
Sandra Bullock and her and Harry Connick Jr. get together. That's a good part. But the little girl, her dad like leaves and she, oh my God. When she cries and then I cry, I'm like, I can't.
There is one movie where Jensen doesn't have his little spiky spike.
When he has a mohawk that is extra spiky.
And in Chiro.
Okay. Do we want to get, I don't have a lot of notes for the episode and I don't have a lot of tiddly bits, but my plot is extremely long.
You know what? You got to do what you got to do for this. I also had kind of no idea what I was. Sorry. You're also going on a journey with me to retrieve Tallahassee's toy while this is happening. This is the life of a dog owner podcast host. I literally, cause these two episodes. Okay. So these two episodes, I'm going to disclaim, were difficult to do like Miss Mythologies and Monsters on. Mm-hmm. Because there really was nothing happening. I was like, okay, so we're dealing with some demons and some angels.
Yeah.
And more demons and some angels. Okay, Angel Radio, which doesn't exist. And we already talked about talking to angels. So it got interesting. It got interesting.
I was just trying to think what you could have done. Oh.
I mean, I did something. I did a thing.
I see that.
But yeah, it got, I was like,
but I was thinking with radio.
I know. Well, I tried to look up to see if there was like any kind of like angel radio, and all I could find was like talking to angels, communicating with angels. And I was like, we kind of already did that though.
Yeah. I was thinking, what were the radio stations that were like out in the ocean?
Oh.
Like in the old World War II outposts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The British radio thing. I don't remember what it was called.
So there was a fake British radio show that helped defeat the Nazis in World War II.
Oh, there you go.
And then there was Lord Ha-Ha, or How-How, which was nicknamed, applied to William Joyce, who broadcast Nazi propaganda.
It was pirate radio. They were unlicensed radio for moving ships and sea-based platforms.
And then there's, if you really want to... Sorry. There's three main radio stations in Fallout: Diamond City Radio, Radio Freedom, and Classical Radio.
Ooh.
I know. I like Fallout Radio. I listen to them a lot because they have a lot of like, because obviously it's set in like the, like a post-apocalyptic like 50s.
Yeah.
So you got like old classic songs. I love it. Okay. So this episode, since we haven't actually mentioned it, we've skirted around it and talked about it being a pain. I should go back to the one that I actually am doing today. Is season 4, episode 9. I Know What You Did Last Summer, which came out November 13th, 2008, takes place in Ohio.
Just all over Ohio?
It literally just says Ohio.
Okie dokie.
Takes place 2 months after Lazarus Rising. So when Dean came out of the ground. And is directed by Charles Beeson. I'm going to do that every time they say it.
Again.
Charles Beeson. I'm just going to be like, Dad.
Your dad had some kisses at work in 2000.
And we're recording this on Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Not sure if it'll come out today. I'm going to try.
Well, as I said, we were recording it on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Don't worry, because Charles Beeson records many another time. Two more times in this season, but.
So we have plenty of time to say it again?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to sip my coffee. I'll give you a plot.
It's okay. You need to wet the whistle to give us a good plot.
It's a rough day already. Okay. Ruby returns to give Sam and Dean a lead. Other demons are searching for an escaped mental patient named Anna Milton, who was locked up after she went into hysterics because she heard angels talking in her head about the upcoming apocalypse and needed to be restrained after trying to warn people. Sam and Dean investigate and find that Ruby was telling the truth and that Anna's claims about the apocalypse are uncannily accurate. After finding her parents dead at her home, Sam and Dean track Anna to her father's church, where Ruby arrives to warn them that one of the quote-unquote heavy hitter demons looking for Anna has been following them since Anna's house. They are unable to escape before the demon attacks them. It is then revealed that the new demon, whose name is Alistair, knows Dean from his time in hell. While Alistair takes Sam out and beats up Dean, Ruby escapes with Anna. Sam recovers and stabs Alistair with Ruby's knife. While it doesn't kill him, it gives the Winchesters a chance to flee to safety. Believing they were set up by Ruby, Dean lashes out at Sam for trusting her. So Sam tells him what happened during the months Dean was in hell. Sam's account is depicted in flashbacks, which show that he encountered Ruby again for the first time, a different Ruby, different body Ruby, that shows again for the first time since Dean's death, while drunk and trying in vain to bring Dean back. The Ruby has been tortured and eventually released from hell by Lilith on the condition that she kill Sam. She had only agreed to it to trick Lilith into setting her free, as she wanted to help Sam. However, Sam rejected her because she couldn't save Dean from hell and demanded that she leave her host body to spare the host. Ruby acquiesced and possessed the body of a brain-dead coma patient whose life support had just been cut so that she would not be usurping someone else's life. She then returned to Sam, and he agreed to let her teach him how to use his powers to kill Lilith and avenge Dean. In the meantime, she made him quit drinking and provided him with some physical comfort when she seduced him. She finally earned his trust when she came after him and saved him from a trap that Lilith prepared for him, even though he had threatened to kill her if she tried to intervene. After the last flashback, Ruby briefly takes a different host and to find the Winchesters and give them Anna's location. There, Dean extends an olive branch of sorts to Ruby due to his appreciation of how she helped Sam in his absence, and Sam is forced to break the news to a devastated Anna that her parents are dead. The episode ends in a cliffhanger with Castiel and Uriel appearing and demanding to be taken to Anna so they can kill her.
Angels are dicks.
Dicks.
Total dicks.
No qualms about being like, yeah, we're gonna kill her. Cool. She can hear you. She's in the other room.
Yeah.
Man.
Total dicks.
Such dicks. Cass still has his fluffy hair, though.
Well, Cass hasn't changed too much yet.
No.
We haven't even gotten to, like, the up the ass Cass.
That's two totally different things.
But it hits two fandom.
Oh, God.
Oh, I did it.
It's just going to get worse from here.
Yep.
Okay.
Not going to get any better.
Do you think Cass showers? Do you think he smells?
Do you think angels have to shower? I mean, he's obviously in a human body, so the human body would have to shower. Because he also needs to shave, but how does he know how to shave? Or does he just, like, snap his fingers and he's, like, clean shaven?
Maybe that's how it is.
I also want to know who cuts the boy's hair, now that we're on the subject.
I smell good. Boom. Oh, I'm sure. Well, first of all, Sam probably doesn't cut his hair.
Well, no, we know Sam doesn't cut his hair, but Dean doesn't let it get wild. So, like, who's cutting Dean's hair?
Probably Sam. I'm sure they have I'm sure they have clippers.
Oh my God, I want to see.
They carry a thing of clippers.
I want to see that day.
Oh my God, could you see?
Just busts out his little barber kit, and he's like, okay, Dean, just sit real still. He puts a little
hot towel
treatment later. Because obviously we've seen Dean, like, shave and stuff, so Dean's taking care of that.
I could totally
the haircutting.
I could see Sam doing it. I can even see Dean with, like, you know, some shears and, like, just taking, like, you know, the dead ends off of Sam's hair.
This is killing me. It is the most wholesome thing I am picturing in my mind right now, and I need it. My heart is feeling so warm and full.
They look out for each other. They want each other to look good when they're fighting, you know, monsters and demons.
That's so funny. Well, I mean, obviously Dean's picking people up, so he's got to. And obviously now Sam's got to impress Ruby.
Did he really have to impress her, though? Because, I mean, she kind of went after it.
Yeah,
it's like, no. Don't touch me. And she's like, yes, touch me. And then he's like, okay.
Do you think it's Stockholm syndrome?
Probably.
Like, after stalking the boys enough, Sam's just like, okay, guess this is supposed to happen.
Probably. I mean, he's like, well, I already did a werewolf, so what? Why not a demon?
And there's the poor Dean who's just like, human girl, porn star.
Oh, man. That whole scene was, I don't know. There's just something about Sam that I can't watch him do those things.
Because he's too precious. He's too innocent. He doesn't do that stuff. It's like the scene where he, like, was sitting outside and Dean was having sex. And she's like, I saw parts of you. Or when he came in and Dean was having sex. And he's like, some parts of you I never wanted to see.
Yeah.
I can't get it out of my head.
That I can do more. I just can't. I don't know why.
Maybe it's because of the character development and that, like, we expect it from Dean because we were seen in, like, the first two seasons. Like, first season, right. Dean's already getting freaky deaky.
Oh, he's hitting on everybody. Every girl that they saved.
And then Sam is so innocent. And, like, the only person he was with is Jessica. And the only reason he's not with her is because she died, which is sad.
Yeah. But then he got to kiss that girl with the art gallery.
Which was also innocent.
It was so pure.
I know. And now all of a sudden, he's just getting freaky deaky with a demon. And, like, I could get the werewolf thing. That was okay. Because that was also kind of...
flaunting her underwear in front of him.
And it was still kind of innocent. Like, this is just, she's a demon. Mm-hmm. She's everything you should be killing. And I get that she helped you the first time, but like,
Yeah.
I do not, by the way, I do not like Alistair. I do not like Alistair. He looks weird. He scares me. He creeps me out. And the way that he talks, it's just,
it'll get worse later.
I know.
Yeah. Ooh. So we've been officially introduced to four rubies.
Yes.
We have Bluebee, mm-hmm. Ruby, Bluebee number two, and Maid Ruby.
Yeah, the introduction of Alistair in this, he's one of my least favorite characters in the series.
Yeah.
Just everything about him.
He is kind of, he's like a creepy old man that would like try to lure kids with puppies.
And then slaughter them in front of the children, and then slaughter the children.
Yeah, yes. That's exactly how it would be. Ugh.
So what did you think of this Bluebee?
I don't know.
She's not our original Ruby.
She was okay.
I did like Maid Ruby, though.
I was going to say, I like Maid Ruby more than Bluebee number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the rankings of the Ruby, in the Ruby rankings, it's definitely
Bluebee,
then Maid Ruby, then Bluebee number two, and then Bruby.
Yeah. Sorry, Bruby.
I did like the attitude she gave the boys when she's like, I'm sorry, you what? You lost my knife. Seriously? Like the one thing I gave you that could kill demons, you just were like, no.
Yeah, but it didn't kill Alistair. It doesn't kill everybody.
It doesn't kill all of them.
Bruby.
Also, these boys need to stop, and obviously they don't, but they really need to stop with the trading themselves for, like, their sibling at a crossroads.
Oh my god, I know!
They really gotta stop this, because it's just, it's not, I mean, at some point, how many different crossroads demons are there? Because I feel like there are, like, the crossroads demons that go to, like, the different crossroads when somebody obviously summons them.
Yeah.
So at some point, somebody's just gonna be like, you again? No, we did this last time. I know how this works. Uh-uh.
Well, that guy said he didn't even want to show up. He's like, I thought about not coming.
Yeah, because obviously they like when they get summoned, they're like, oh, Thomas today, I guess, wants to make a trade.
Yeah.
So they'd look up and be like, this asshole.
I'm not going to see Sam Winchester. Not it.
I already know what happened with Dean Winchester, and this asshole's got demon blood exercising us. No, I'm not in it.
Not it.
Because they'll be like, oh, yeah, I want you to bring back my brother. No, I can't do that. Okay, then I'm going to just kill you. Hand motions. Exorcism.
Bloody noses. I don't know. I don't feel like a lot happened in this episode other than the sexy flashbacks.
I agree. I feel like this was just like poor Anna. We're introduced to the character of Anna in this episode, and this poor girl.
She didn't ask for this.
No! And then she, I don't know.
I did love, like, when she saw the demon's faces, because she could actually see them.
It's like when Dean was finally dying and he could start seeing between that veil.
Yeah.
But when she saw Ruby, and it was just like, oh, God, that's what you actually look like.
Well, that's what she did, too. She's like, oh, what happened to your face?
I'm also very curious, too, in that case, because obviously most people can't deal with seeing angels, obviously, a la Pam.
Oh, poor Pam.
I do appreciate these earlier episodes for showing us, like, just how much cast changes.
Yeah.
In dealing with the Winchesters, because, I mean, at the end of this episode, he literally just goes, no, she must die.
Yeah.
Or she has to die, I think. But later, obviously, Cass is the one that kind of fights for giving the humans a chance.
Yeah, I agree.
But in this one, he's just like, nope.
Sorry, dead.
Sorry, Uriel and I kind of talked about this, and we said no.
You know what? Uriel's a dick, so...
Uriel! All angels are dicks! We haven't met an angel yet that isn't a dick. Sorry, Cass, but you're also a dick.
For right now, you're a dick.
For right now, you're definitely a dick. I did watch a top 10 improvised moments that were kept in Supernatural.
Oh, really?
And one of them was one of my favorites, and I love it. And I didn't realize it was so... Okay, so the episode when... And it's later, when they're in town and Lilith is there, and Cass tries to, like, beam out, and he can't.
Okay.
It's him, Sam, Bobby in the diner. Cass, like, he's like, I'll be right back. And he just sits there for a second, and he kind of looks constipated. And Dean goes, Cass, we can still see you. And he goes, I know, for some reason, it just isn't working. And Dean basically says that he's, like, Olympic. Apparently, Misha Collins forgot his line and just looked out the window for a second. So Jared stepped in and goes, I think you hurt his feelings. But it worked so well that I had no idea that was completely improv because Misha forgot his line. Jensen was just being himself. And Jared was like, I think you hurt his feelings.
That's pretty amazing.
And it worked so well.
I like that. I like it. I approve.
Yeah, I also agree that this... I feel like in the next couple of episodes, we're in fillers just to get the 66 seals.
Yeah. They hit us with, like, some good episodes in a row, and then this was kind of like, eh, here's Anna. She hears angels.
And even Heaven and Hell, the next episode, again, kind of.
Yeah.
We get more Alistair.
Woohoo, yay.
Can't wait.
Love that guy.
We get backstabbing Ruby. We get Uriel. So it's just like,
meh.
Although... The only exciting part about the next episode is that Bobby's on a job in the Caribbean.
I love Bobby.
Do you think Bobby's actually at a job in the Caribbean? Or Bobby's just like, fuck this shit, I'm out. I need a vacation.
I think Bobby's like, fuck this shit, I'm out.
I know. He's like, oh no, you got more angels? I gotta step away.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be, where can I tell them I'm going where they can't actually reach me right away?
Oh, Caribbean.
Yeah, Caribbean.
Going to the Caribbean.
That means Dean would have to fly again, and that's not going to happen.
No, I wish it would, though.
That's not going to fly.
Ah, you're so funny.
I know. I'll be here all week. Literally, I will be at this desk all week.
All day, every day.
Are you ready for some TBs, or did you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, since not much happened, I would keep going on tangents about characters, so...
Okay, let's get into...
I would like some tiddly bits instead.
Let's get into my tiddly bits. I don't have a lot. We'll dive right in. I Know What You Did Last Summer is a reference to the 1997 movie of the same name.
It's a good movie.
I love that movie. Another thing with Freddie Prinze Jr. in it.
Oh, yeah.
We're tying it back around. And Johnny Galecki from Roseanne.
Oh.
Well, he was in Big Bang Theory, too.
Oh, yeah, he's the... Oh, Galecki. I'm looking Galecki, for Galecki. Yeah.
The second one wasn't as good with Brandy in it. It was still a good movie, but first
one. He was also in Christmas Vacation.
Yes, he was. He was Rusty.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. When talking about finding Anna, Dean says, so I'm Girl Interrupted to Sam. Girl Interrupted is a 1999 movie starring Winona Ryder as a girl who is placed in a mental institute after trying to commit suicide. Co-starred Angelina Jolie. And Misha Collins is actually in that movie.
Seriously?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I never watched the movie, so I probably wouldn't have known, but...
I feel like he jumps up every now and then.
Like, ooh, Misha.
Like, I'll just be watching something and be like, ooh, there's Misha. Same thing with Bobby.
I did that Jim yesterday Beaver. In Bring It On last night. Really random character at the end, just like a male cheerleader that comes off the stage. It is played by Riley... I forget his last name. But he is in Nancy Drew right now.
Oh.
He plays Ryan Hudson on Nancy Drew. Like, he had a little, like, exchange with one guy cheerleader, so, at the very end of the movie. Oh, this is the first episode to mention Angel Radio. Anna Milton heard the angels for the first time on September 18th, 2008, the day Dean was raised from hell by Castiel. The first message she heard was, Dean Winchester is saved. Dean Winchester.
Winchester.
Winchester. That makes him sound fancy. I'm a Winchester.
It's a Winchester.
Anna's hospital ward is Ward 42. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the number 42 is the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. Anna Williams is the third actress, second chronologically per the flashback episode, to play Ruby. That was Bluebee number two. Michelle Hewitt Williams is the fourth actress to play Ruby. That's Maid Ruby, albeit just for a single scene. But we still rank her above the other rubies.
You know what? I'm not going to lie about it.
She gets about 10 seconds, but she's still above the other ones. Sam is wearing the same shirt in the flashbacks of Ruby teaching him how to exorcise demons that he is while he's telling Dean the memory. Guess he didn't want to wash his clothes.
It's a lot of time and effort.
He's like, Dean's not here to starch. I don't know. And his last name, Milton, is an allusion to John Milton, who wrote Paradise Lost, the story of Adam and Eve, Lucifer's fall, and the battle between heaven and hell that most people are familiar with. Ruby enters a church, which is hallowed ground in this episode, which, as established in Seasons 1, Salvation, isn't something, quote-unquote, minor league demons can do. This indicates that she's stronger than she lets on. Fucking Ruby. Jared Padalecki and Genevieve Cortez, at the time, had not officially started dating when this episode was filmed. You think that's why they started dating? Because they...
Do you think they did...
Oh, do you think they practiced? Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, you know what?
Executive producer Robert Singer joked at a convention that when the team reviewed the footage of this sex scene, they remarked that something must be going on because Sam and Ruby having sex was just too hot. Jared and Jen were married a few years later.
So, okay. But at the same time, like, do you think at that point when Daniil was introduced later on, they were like, well, if anything happens, like, we have to make it steamy because we've been married for forever.
Yeah, but they never got, Neil and Jensen never like had a hot moment on the show.
Yeah.
They had a hot moment.
Well, okay, so she was introduced. What season? Well, she doesn't come in until season 13.
Yeah.
Her birthday's March 18th. She's from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Really?
Get a little Southern gal.
I like Daniil.
Everything about her and Jensen, I love. They're such a fun, true couple. They just, everything about them. But she plays an angel possessing Sister Jo.
Yeah.
So she's an angel first off.
I love and hate the relationship at the same time, by the way, because it just makes me jealous.
But she's only in like 5 episodes?
Yeah, she's not in it for very long.
She's in like 2 in season 13, 2 in season 14, and like 1 in season 15?
Yeah, wasn't that a flashback?
Yes. Yes, it was. And she and Lucifer have like a weird relationship too.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
You still haven't watched the finale?
No, I got to figure out my brother's actual Netflix login again. Because I didn't and I haven't been able to for obvious reasons. Because I'm in the single category and ain't got no Netflix.
Oh, my, what does that have to do with...
And the worst part is it's my brother's Netflix. I just don't remember what the login is because I'm lazy and he won't remember what the login is. So he's going to try and log in and then have to change his password again, which he's going to have to do anyway.
If you need a Netflix login, I'm here for you.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. She messes with like Arthur. She messes with Catch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Catch.
Classic Catch. I fucking hated him, but then I loved him, but then I hated him. Then I loved him.
I know, I hated him when it was like him and Mary, and then
that was fucking weird. That was weird.
And then, but like at the end, I liked him.
I know, it's a weird dichotomy with him.
I like the other British guy too.
Oh, I liked the Men of Letters. I didn't think they were bad guys. I thought they were just British.
I like that
they
too.
They just want to go kill a demon and have a cup of tea. Who doesn't?
I feel like that's what you would do, Liz.
That's exactly what I would do. I'm essentially a Men of Letters.
You'd be like, I have to kill this demon before high tea.
Yeah, like, we gotta wrap this up. It's almost afternoon tea.
I could see you with, like, the accoutrement in the car. Like,
fuck yeah, I'd be like, do you need scones? I have some clotted cream. It's in the cooler.
You'd have, like, a little teapot that you would plug into, like, the cigarette lighter or something.
Yeah, I would have a very British version of, like, if the Impala had a baby with a Scooby van. But I've also had these weird dreams where I have a really sweet muscle car and I'm listening to like classic rock. So like obviously Dean thinks I'm hot. So then he tries to hit on me, but I'm like, no, I want your brother.
Oh, and then you go, but I have a friend.
Exactly.
And I slide on in.
Slide on into that passenger seat. And then I hit your hand when you try to change the music. Because that's us. Because we're the human person.
It's true. It's true.
But we can't date ourselves. That's weird.
Damn it.
Sorry. All right. Any other tiddly bits?
Nope, that's all I got.
We've gotten so off subject.
That's how it rolls around here.
That's accurate. Oh, now
sorry, not sorry.
Everything's opening up. We can get together, obviously, for Hunter Happy Hour. Yay! And we can dress up as our male alter egos.
I'm so excited. I hope it's not too hot, though.
I got
or I'd have to be Jensen in the short shorts.
We just show up looking like gym teachers.
Oh my God.
Ordering a beer when it doesn't show up, just blow the whistle.
The headband.
The whistle makes me their god.
Wait, that's in the season, isn't it? Okay.
Oh shit. I can't wait.
Awesome.
We're gonna have to, so we already missed the one, so we still have to do Yellow Fever, but
yeah.
I still think it's such a good idea is if we do a Patreon, this is completely off subject, going on a tangent. If we do a Patreon, if we make a podcast specific TikTok.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
And do like parody videos and stuff.
I like the way you think.
I mean, obviously everyone can get to it, but they would have like first access of like.
First dibs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Because then we would be able to do remake stuff or like do like the Yellow Fever.
Yeah.
Whew, that was scary. And also when the music,
like,
what the fuck? That was scary. Among other things, like we could do the I Lost My Shoe.
Yes.
And obviously we can make both versions. We could just be like coming into film today and like I'm in the Dean gym outfit and then you show up in the dean gym outfit. We're just like, wait, I thought you were, but I'm a oh man.
Guess we just walk away.
Like a little sad, like. And then we could have fun when the musical episode happens, fan fiction.
Oh my god, yes.
I think we could have a lot of fun with that. That was one of my ideas for Patreon, is do something like that, but like have a podcast specific account for like that.
I like it. You know, we can do that on Buy Me a Coffee too. We can have subscription things.
And we can also do things where if somebody wants us to do something, they'd be able to pick what we do.
Oh, yeah.
Like Patreons would be able to be like, I really want you guys to do like this scene.
Yeah.
Or like, I think it'd be hilarious if you guys did this. Or like, if it was this situation, but you're like Cass and Jack or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I really like that.
And now that things are open, I think it's something we can definitely do, because according to Dustin, it takes like an entire day to do TikTok. So, but in that vein, if we prepared and we wanted to hang out like at your place or my place or wherever, we'd be able to like bring a couple outfits, knock a couple out, keep them in drafts.
Yeah.
And then just post them as we go.
I like the way you think.
I got my thinking cap on. All right. But back to this. All right. So do you want what I was able to scrounge around?
Yeah.
All right, so the resources that I used are occultworld.com, Britannica, GreekGodsAndGoddesses.net, Theoa.com, Paranormal Encyclopedia. Yes.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up.
So what I had decided to do, since we were introduced to one this time, was focus on Alistair.
Okay.
Because I love him so much.
He's just my favorite.
However, in most mythologies and demonologies, there really isn't an Alistair. However, I did find an Alistor.
Oh, like Castiel and Cassiel?
Yes. So kind of along the same lines. So if you were to Google Alistair demon, you get supernatural. List of theological demons. Super wiki. White-eyed demons. Super wiki. 10 demons that are stronger than angels. Supernatural. So there really wasn't anything that I could find on Alistair besides like Alistair is a masculine given name. It's anglicized from the Scottish Gaelic Alasdair, but there really wasn't too many things that I could find about Alistair besides his name.
Well, thanks, internet.
So I found Alistor, who is very similar, and Alistor is the god of justice, retribution, and blood feuds.
Whoa.
He is a personified spirit demon of family blood feuds. He is related to Eurynice, or the Furies in Greek mythology, and they are the three goddesses of vengeance and retribution who punish men for crimes against the natural order. Alistor presided over retaliations that were directed at the murderer's family and not actually at the murderer himself. He is associated with Nemesis, the goddess of divine retribution, who signified the god's disapprovals of human presumption. And Nemesis ensured balance by making sure that no one person had too much or too little happiness, sadness, luck, or fortune, that they kind of just fell in the middle. So in Greek mythology, Chloris, who is the daughter of Amphion, the Minyan king, married Neleus, the king of Pylos, who was the son of Tyro and Poseidon. Chlorius is actually the mother of Alastor. And in mythology, Heracles, or Hercules, killed Neleus, the king of Pylos's father, and all of the sons, including Alastor, but left Nestor because Neleus refused to clear a blood debt. So Heracles, or Hercules, decided to kill all of the sons.
Oh, shit.
With the exception of Nestor.
Like an angel.
So in killing Alastor, in death, Alastor turned into a spirit of vengeance.
Okay.
Enticing blood feuds between families, since obviously, because of his father, they were all killed. He would ensure that the stakes are high, so that the spirit of vengeance would be passed down from generation to generation. So he would make sure that everyone in the family knew about him and what he was capable of. He also symbolized the idea of blood for blood, which eventually dominates Greek mythology, which also could attribute to the fact of children paying for their parents' sins in Greek mythology, which adds to that idea of being passed down from generation to generation. So like back to the original story of how Alastor became this version of a demon was that his father was the one who made the mistake by not paying a blood debt. And in turn, his sons paid for it. So later in Greek mythology, the children pay for the crimes or sins of the parents, generally of the father is what they say. His name can be translated to Avenger. In Roman mythology, he is notorious as an evil genius of the household who entices residents to commit sin.
Ooh.
He is supposedly very cruel and enjoys bloodshed. In the Middle Ages, Alastor was known as a demon or a class of demons. So they would be known as an Alastor.
So like a gaggle of demons. Yeah. It's an Alastor.
psychic disharmony by the trauma of original crimes actually makes someone more vulnerable or susceptible to the Alastor. And according to Euripides's stories, Cassandra threatens Agamemnon by claiming the powers of an Alastor, which actually ends up working and isn't too far from something that she would be able to do. Alastor is named in Colin de Plancy, who is a French writer who lived from 1793 to 1881, in Plancy's Dictionnaire Infernal, which indicates Alastor in Zoroastrian tradition as the executioner. But I did look up Alastor in Zoroastrian, and I didn't find too much on him besides being mentioned in Plancy's Dictionnaire Infernal. Arthur Edward Waite, who was a British poet and scholarly mystic.
Oh,
I know. I was okay. Like, ooh, okay, scholarly mystic, not just a mystic. I like it. I appreciate you, Mr. Arthur.
That's a thing I can become.
Apparently.
Scholarly mystic.
He, in 1910, released the Book of Black Magic and Poets, and he describes Alastor as Hell's Commissioner of Public Works. He also mentions him as an infernal judge.
Oh, okay.
So this is where it kind of starts tying back to what Supernatural kind of has him do. So that's why I was like, oh, as I started researching this, I'm like, okay, so I can't find anything on Alastair. However, Alastor in Greek and Roman mythology seems to have kind of a lot of like the paying for your sins and really kind of enjoying it.
Yeah.
So he's actually mentioned in the 5th century BC Greek tragedy. I'm going to try not butcher this, but I don't speak Greek.
It's all Greek to me.
Achilles's Agamemnon as an avenging demon who follows the footsteps of criminals. In The Spirit of Solitude by Percy Shelley, yes, the Percy Shelley who was married to Mary Shelley, who was an English romantic poet, wrote The Spirit of Solitude, also known as Alastor, and he wrote it between September 10th and December 14th, 1815, and it was published in 1816, and it was actually originally published without a title, and eventually got the title of Alastor, or The Spirit of Solitude. And the poem actually was about the condemnation of self-centered idealism. In Greek mythology, Orestes is advised by an oracle to avenge his father by murdering his mother. He questions if this is the oracle or Apollo that he is talking to or an Alastor. Later on, Orestes would actually go on to avenge his father Agamemnon by killing his mother Clytemnestra. In classic psychoanalysis, Orestes' complex is actually a son's repressed impulse to kill his mother, which sometimes results in matricide.
Wow.
And in that, when Orestes is questioning whether he is speaking to Apollo in Greek mythology, if people are not familiar, is the Greek god of music, poetry, light, prophecy, and medicine. So obviously in that scenario, they're talking to him as the god of prophecy.
He's got a lot of jobs.
But because the oracle... Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of free time.
He's busy. He's a busy guy.
He's a boy. He's a busy boy. He's working an 80-hour week. But in that, because the original answer was to avenge the father by killing the mother, he was like, I don't know if this is just, so am I speaking to Apollo or an Alastor who would want to avenge the father due to a blood feud?
Yeah.
But that's all I could really find on Alastor.
Damn Alastors.
Silly Alastor. But I was like, ooh, I'm in Greek and Roman mythology. This is fun.
Hey.
Hey, it's been a while. What's going on? But I did
much
like
has changed.
No, but I did like that they took some of the ideas of Alastor and gave it to Alastair.
Yeah.
And that we really don't see too much change until the Middle Ages when Alastor was kind of tied to demons. But I think that's only because people assume that evil is demon because it's a sin, especially like killing and criminals and those kinds of things. So I don't think it was this people believed in that. They just needed some kind of an answer.
Here you go.
But it is also interesting because you think about it. So obviously in Supernatural, you have Ruby who started off as a witch. Then she went down to hell and became a demon. Mm-hmm. So in this story, Alastor was a human. Well, I mean, mostly. I mean, he was the son of the king who was the son of Poseidon, essentially, who was killed and turned into the spirit of vengeance. Can you imagine being his other siblings who were just like, what, we chop liver? We don't do anything? Like, you chose him to be vengeance? Okay, what am I? Oh, corn? Cool. Y'all watch over the corn.
I want to do something cool. Come on. The corn.
I don't know. That's all I got. I was in Ohio. One of the people in the Colossal Con group was like, don't make friends with people from Ohio because all the people from Ohio are corn. And if they say they're not corn, that's exactly what corn would say.
So they're children of the corn?
Yeah.
Man.
Although when I was driving to the Renaissance Festival in Lancaster once, we passed a field that literally had a sign that said experimental corn.
Oh.
And we just got on a whole tangent about like how we would survive a horror movie, who would die first, how we would all die, what's going to happen when the car breaks down. And like, it was good. It was a good time. It was a fun car ride.
Oh, Ohio. Our brother Ohio. To the west. We have a lot of people in Ohio that listen to us.
Get it, Ohio. I mean, we're not too far from them.
No, we're not.
I was just there.
Steubenville's the burb of the burg.
That's true. Next episode will be season 4, episode 10, Heaven and Hell.
Heaven and hell.
Heaven and hell. I'm glad we didn't take too long to, you know, get to that part. We're only 10 episodes in where we met fucking angels.
Oh my god.
But hey, better late than never.
And they're dicks.
They are dicks. I thought demons were dicks, but damn, angels. You giving them a run for their money.
Yeah, really?
What the hell?
What the heaven?
Also, if you were curious, Percy Shelley's poem, The Spirit of Solitude, warned idealists like himself not to abandon sweet human love and social improvement for the vain pursuit of evanescent dreams.
Sweet human love.
Sweet human love. That's a quote from the poem. And it describes the early wanderings of such an idealist, his search for the ideal love, and his eventual lonely death that results from it.
That just made me think of Sweet Baby Jesus.
Sweet 6 pounds, 8 pounds, baby Jesus. I like to think of Jesus as like my homeboy.
Oh my god.
No, there you go.
Anyway, that's where we're going to end it today.
Yeah, on that note, thanks for listening to us. I almost, in turn, started going, and that's why we drink. Oh. Oh no, that's awful.
And this is Balls.
Thanks for listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast. But seriously, share us with your friends. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can email us. We have a buy a coffee in which we can buy us a beer. And potential Patreon coming to you soon. We'll see.
Woohoo!
Yay, things are happening. Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.